Busted appliance? This is your sign to upgrade. Shop at Lowe's to get up to 35% off and next day delivery on hundreds of major appliances. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid through 3/18 while supplies last. Selection varies by location. Order by 4 p.m. Available Monday through Saturday. Subject to availability. Fees, exclusions, and restrictions apply. See Lowe's.com/appliance delivery for more details.
Visit your nearby Lowe's on Silver Drive in Columbus.
Hey, it's Cole Swindell. After I give everything I've got to land a perfect vocal, I usually take 5 before jumping into the next track. And I've learned exactly how to recharge in that time. Some folks grab coffee. I hit a quick good luck spin. Next thing you know, the break is just as fun as laying down the track. A better break makes for a better take. Need a break? Let's chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus TNCs apply. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Are you a fraud-paying American? It's a fact that 1 in 4 honest, hard-working, tax-paying Americans has been a victim of identity theft. With LifeLock Identity Theft Protection, though, if your identity is stolen, they fix it, guaranteed, and get you your money back. Last year, the IRS flagged over $16 billion in refunds for identity fraud. That's billions of dollars that could come from your salary, overtime, or second job. But this year, you don't need to stay a victim. LifeLock monitors millions of data points per second for your personal information and alerts you to threats you could easily miss on your own. And if your information does fall into the wrong hands, only LifeLock has U.S.-based restoration specialists who are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package. Because this tax season, fraud-paying American is something no American should have to claim. Visit LifeLock.com/iHeart and save up to 40% your first year. That's 40% off at LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. TNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Today on The Grave Talks, we continue our conversation about the occult Elvis with author Miguel Connor. Well, and you just mentioned the weather, controlling the weather. Once again, something else I had never heard about Elvis before. But you cite examples in the book of him like changing cloud formations, or clouds moved and all of a sudden the blue sky's peeking through. He's able to do this. Do you feel like that was true in your research, or do you feel like that's kind of a legendary tall tale from Elvis fans?
That's a good question. Because it's different sources, I have to lean that there was something going on. Even it's hard to say it was some sort of sleight of hand illusion. You know, if I put my hand up and it's windy, the cloud's eventually going to move. I moved that cloud. But this happened to different people. Like, again, Ginger Alden, they were in Hawaii. And Elvis says, I can split these clouds. And these clouds split. And Ginger and her girlfriends are like, holy mother God. And then Elvis says, now watch this. I'm going to bring these clouds together. And the clouds came together. And then there's other instances with other witnesses where he could do that. There's that one time he was out with, he was at Graceland. Some friends showed up. He's like, let's go play racquetball. Courts were somewhere else in the grounds, and they're walking out and it's raining. And his friend's like, oh, this is going to get us, you know, it's going to be very inconvenient. And Elvis says, no problem, I'll take care of it. And he does this thing with his hand and the rain stops. So again, this happened in different places with different individuals who didn't know about the other instances. And they were pretty shocked at his ability to do these things. So take it for what you will.
Yeah, because if I'd have been hanging out with Elvis and Elvis would tell me I can part the clouds with my mind, I would be like, well, you are Elvis.
You know? Yeah, that is true. If anybody can do it.
You know, exactly. And I think even if the clouds didn't part, that's what I would have seen.
Yeah. I think my favorite is, I don't know why this makes me laugh, because it's so American. It's so Elvis. But he was with Linda Thompson, his other girlfriend, and he bought this new luxury car, a Pantera, whatever, you know, it was 70s. And they're going out on a date, And they get in the car and the car won't stop. And he's trying to turn the car. He gets angry. He gets out of the car. He takes out his gun because he was always armed to the teeth. And he shoots the engine 5 times. He gets back in the car and the car turns. And she was like, only Elvis could do this. He'd like scare the car with, you know, by injuring the car, you know.
I just think I would have seen the entire world through a different lens had I been hanging out with Elvis Presley, you know.
Yeah.
If he could tell me, yeah, the sky is green today. And I'd be like, yeah, kind of is green, Elvis. You're right.
Yeah.
Now, and so it's interesting because it seems like, especially reading the book, that Elvis had different lives. And we know professionally the different lives. There was the young Elvis, Elvis who goes off to the army, Elvis who came back and is starring in movies, chubby Elvis, resurrected Elvis. You know, he just kind of went through all these different phases. But kind of behind the scenes during all of this, he kept that level of spirituality and searching. It seems like that was a constant in his life.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. I mean, yeah, he was very, he was a chameleon, and he certainly had many manifestations, many comebacks. I mean, I don't think people understand how hard it is for rock stars to make a comeback. They almost always fail. I mean, I can only think of maybe Tina Turner, maybe Aerosmith, but he could reinvent himself, have an identity, and just be still at the top of the celebrity world. And but again, yeah, you're right. His core was always spirituality. What is my purpose? How can I help humankind? What is destiny? How can I experience God and expand my consciousness? Where is Jesse? What will happen to Jesse? Why did my mother die? You know, and he did find solace. He would read things like Khalil Gibran's The Prophet or books on the afterlife. And he was able to find some sort of healing and solace and understanding that, you know, try to look at the big picture. We're all aspects of God in this universe that have incarnated as splinters that we call ourselves human beings. And there's one source and it's God. And we're all going through this play, this drama. And everything will work out at the end. And we can even make a better world if all these aspects of God will just work together and be kind to others.
Well, that is a lesson I think we could all appreciate today in the world.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, he said, we need Elvis more than ever, right? As I argue in the book. And if your listeners want to know what it is to be an Elvis person, I sort of give it away at the last chapter and what I think his legacy is and how he's not making appearances just to be a trickster. You know, I call him a trickster, but, you know, if we're seeing Jesus and Mary coming or the UFOs, they have a message. They're urging us to do something. They're warning us. They're telling us you're off the path. That's why apparitions appear. And they're trying to choose some to do the right thing or choose humanity in general to do the right thing. Ghosts do the same thing. They come. Our ancestors come at us with messages, advice, warning. So Elvis is still making appearances in people's dreams and places. You can go to the Graceland website right now. There's a whole page just so you can write down your Elvis apparition. So I think Elvis is still around and he has a message for us. And he's telling us, yo, America, get your ass together, you know, or else things ain't going to go very well.
Yeah, we do need a little Elvis.
lot of Elvis.
What was his take on aliens?
Yeah, in his worldview, there was enough space in this universe for a lot of high weirdness, and he was ahead of the curve. His idea of ufology was very advanced. The idea that religion and extraterrestrials, the lines are blurred. So whether they're angels or fairies or aliens kind of doesn't matter, but it kind of does. And he speculated on all the different theories out there. He read like von Däniken's Chariots of the Gods, where it said that we humans were seeded by these ancient astronauts. And he said that's possible. he thought aliens were around and were using telepathy to make sure that we didn't nuke ourselves to oblivion. So he read a lot of the ufology books. He saw, like, he read the Book of Enoch and said perhaps these Nephilim and Watchers are aliens. He read the Old Testament with new eyes and, like, read the Book of Ezekiel with the wheels and was like, maybe this is an alien craft and all that. So he kept his mind open and speculated, and again was very advanced about it takes decades for people to really get sophisticated with how they saw aliens instead of, you know, little green men and saucers, which was, you know, the view in the 60s. Mm-hmm. And as I write in the book, he had three UFO experiences, and he was not alone in any of those. There were bodyguards, family members each time. So he had three of them, and he thought they were really cool. Again, it was hard to surprise or impress Elvis.
You'd think the aliens would be a surprise and impress situation.
He speculated. He said he did speculate once, you know, his father told him about the blue light and why am I having these experiences. He thought maybe I have been a starseed. Maybe I was put on this earth as an alien. He speculated on it. He never came to any conclusions, but he kept his mind open.
And he really was a voracious reader. Wasn't he?
Very much. Again, thousands of books. He used to, whether it was like Vegas or Hollywood sets, he always had a hired group of workers that carried around 200 books on the occult. And he read them. I mean, people, biographers are impressed, but he had a scholarly mind. He absorbed ideas. He speculated upon them. He filtered them. He wrote down notes and had long talks with people about these works. And you can find them. You can go on the internet and you'll find all these occult books by Elvis that he's annotated and underlined. They're very expensive. But you can go to Graceland. When I went to Graceland, I saw a lot of his occult books right there, and they're open. And there you see Elvis's handwriting asking questions. Will this help me with self-knowledge? What does this relate to in Eastern tradition? So I would think he probably could have been a scholar in another life.
Yeah.
He was very, very intense about this.
Graceland, for me, I went there one time, and I was the first tour of the day. And everyone in my tour group was very starstruck, big Elvis fans. And so I must have moved ahead of them and not realized it. And I'm in the jungle room. And I remember turning around to say something to someone behind me. That's how strongly I felt like there was somebody next to me. Because I was going to say, like, wow, look at this room. And I turned around to say something. And I was the only one in the room. And it was,
wow.
It was this really cool, little creepy feeling at the same time. Because I really thought there was somebody standing next to me, and I had just wandered off from the group ahead of them, and they were all still in the front room, I guess. I don't know. But it was cool,
like,
to be in that room all by myself.
Yeah, it's like that song Walking in Memphis. I don't know if you heard it.
Oh, yeah,
it talks about the jungle
song.
Room uh-huh. and the ghost of Elvis. So you were probably in that song.
That must have been it. Now, and let's talk about Elvis and some rather prophetic experiences, because especially after reading the book, it does seem like he, I don't know if he knew he was going to die, or maybe he just had, I don't know, that happens to some people. It's happened in my life with people who they came to me and said something or reached out to me before they died, and it was very profound. And so I've always wondered, did they know they were going to die, or did they just have this urge to tell me something? But he kind of seemed to, in a way, know that he was going to die young.
Yeah, he saw it coming. I know when he was younger, he would have visions and tell people, my time, I will die young. But, you know, maybe it was just the histrionics of your typical rock star. You know, the Who, hope I die before I get old.
Mm-hmm.
And all that. But yeah, towards the end, he was freaking people out, like Larry Geller. He would he would tell Larry, you know, angels fly because they don't take themselves light. They take themselves lightly. And then he would do all these documents with Geller that he'd never done before. Like he was closing the loops. He was making sure all the loops in his life. He changed his will. He would do strange things like he'd drive with a friend from Memphis to Tupelo, Mississippi at night and go to his old house and look under there for his marbles.
Yeah.
And he would tell, you know, you want to be where your mama raised you. So it was, he was dropping all these hints, and he would talk about like dreams of he and Lisa Marie were in some desolate, like Mad Max world. Everything was falling apart. And he said, things are going to change once I'm gone. But the most remarkable one is what happened with his stepbrother, David Stanley, who at the time was working as a bodyguard for Elvis. And Elvis, August 14th, and Elvis is there in his bed reading all these books, again, occult books, whatever. His health's not very good. He had glaucoma, gut issues, he had arthritis, and he was taking too much pills, but he's still reading. He's still trying to find answers and his purpose. But David shows up in his room, and David wanted some advice about his marriage. Elvis, always being very approachable and very wise, gave him this advice. And then he told David, you know, in 2 days, I'm going to be in a higher plane of existence. And David is like, oh, yeah, 2 days. The only plane you're going to be in is our plane for that concert in Portland. And Elvis sort of rolled his eyes like, you know, you're not getting it. And he said, I love you, gave him a hug. And lo and behold, in 2 days, Elvis was on a higher plane of existence.
Isn't that something?
Mm-hmm.
I had never heard that story.
It's in his biography.
Yep. And it's profound. Do you think... Because I think there's people questioning his drug use, and it's like, well, that might have made him kind of a little, you know, weird or something in his beliefs, although I don't really find his beliefs to be all that weird. But there might be people who think this was all influenced by drug use. But don't you think he was questioning everything before then and looking for answers throughout his life?
He didn't drink. He didn't like street drugs. He tried marijuana once with Priscilla, and like they got the munchies and tired and fell asleep. He tried acid with Priscilla once, and they're like, "Okay, this is fun. The walls are breathing, ha ha ha." But that was it. I think one time in tour in the 70s, he did cocaine for a few months simply to because he was working so hard. But then he never touched it again. And then the pill things, he started in the army, he started taking amphetamines because he really had a very hard schedule. Eventually, he was like the sergeant. So he had to be Army Elvis and then whatever entertainment stuff he had to do when he got back home. He was still, you know, doing records and other things. So, and then the pills started getting worse and adding this pill for sleep, this pill for waking up. And they did take, It took over his life at times, but there were times when if he was going on vacation or he wasn't touring, he would just stop cold turkey and go for months. I mean, people always say, well, he was falling down and breaking up. No, the day he died, he played racquetball with friends for an hour. 2 days before, he was riding his Harley around Memphis. That's not something a junkie would do. You know what I mean? It's an enigma with Elvis, but most of the time, if he was doing his spiritual stuff, especially, you know, magical practices and deep meditation or moving clouds, he'd be on a vacation in Hawaii and he'd be pretty much sober through it. So I would say it didn't make a difference.
You know, most people who are really into using drugs aren't doing meditation and searching for spiritual answers either.
No, he did drugs because of health issues and to have more energy because he was a workaholic. So he didn't do it for the experience or to numb any pain. You know what I mean? I don't think he did. But again, the problem is that addictions kind of have a way of sneaking up upon you, especially pill addictions. One day you realize, oh, my God, my body's really dependent on this stuff.
Well, in his case, you know, the doctor's given it to him. You know, there's a lot of people who have become addicted to pills, all prescribed by their doctor. And
And it happened to him a few times, and it probably happened at the end. It was just the doctor wasn't going to say no to him, and he had a lot of drugs. But again, he was an enigma. I think if he hadn't died, eventually he would have gone through a period of his life we would have stopped, you know, for months, like he usually did.
You know, and when it comes to Elvis's death, there's always been so many questions surrounding that. And I can't think of another celebrity that we question their death the way we do Elvis's. You know, and there's conspiracy theorists because Aaron isn't spelled the way it is on his tomb as it is on his birth certificate. And, you know, is Elvis really dead? There's been sightings of Elvis. I don't hear of that. Is John Lennon really dead? Is, you know, Marilyn Monroe really dead? We might have questions surrounding her death, but I think we all agree she's dead. What is it about Elvis that people have questioned for so long? Was it in part maybe because his fan base was so rabid that they just couldn't accept it?
I would say so. I think the only other star I see is maybe Jim Morrison. But that, yeah, that's really it. Only Elvis. Yeah, it was such a huge shock to the country. And it was a shock to the psyche of the country. Again, Elvis is so tied to the soul of America. It would have made a huge impact. And he was only 42. It was sudden. But yeah, the next day or 2 days later when they had the funeral, 50,000 people showed up at Graceland. Jimmy Carter made a speech from the White House. It was just a huge trauma for our collective consciousness, because in a way, as I say, he was America's magician. He was America's shaman. He is the representation of the American dream. He's part of the American soul. And losing him was huge. And then, needless to say, he started becoming very busy in the spirit world, making apparitions. I have a chapter talking about all the times Elvis appeared after he died and the times that he's appeared since. And like I said, he's been very busy with this country since his death. And I think it's going to get even busier soon. I think he's making a resurgence, not just with, I'm not saying my book, but the Baz Luhrmann book. He had a Priscilla movie. His songs go viral on TikTok. I think there's an interest for Elvis. I don't think he's always going to be part of the great American experiment, along with George Washington and all those. That's how important he is.
And I did want to ask you to share a couple of the stories from the book about people who have seen Elvis, or Elvis has come to them after he's been gone, because there was some really interesting stories.
There's a lot of interesting stories, and some are heartbreaking, some are touching. Elvis saving lives, or there was a girl with Down syndromes who she didn't understand that Elvis had died. And then when she died, she saw a vision of Elvis because she had health issues. And she screamed, Elvis was the last thing she screamed. The one I like, because as somebody who's a recovering addict, was there was a trucker. And this is shortly after Elvis passed, maybe a few years. And he's driving, and he's somewhere in the Midwest, and he stops at a gas station. He's struggling. He's like, I want a drink. And he sees this other young man or this man walking by, and the man gets in. He's got a hat and a jacket. It's dark. And he says, hey, can I get a ride? I'm going to Memphis. For some reason, the truck driver says, I'm going to Memphis too. Yeah, hop along. I'll give you a ride. And they drive to Memphis and they start having conversations. The man in the car says, I'm going to see my mommy and daddy for Christmas. And the guy opens up about his issues, and the passenger starts talking about, yeah, I used to have issues with pills. You know, it got to me most of the time and all that. They get to Memphis, and the guy's like, well, where do you live? I'll drop you off. And gives them directions, and they stop in front of Graceland, and the guy's like, whoa, who are you? And the guy takes off his hat, and he's like, oh my God, it's Elvis. And Elvis is like, you know, see you later, gets off and just vanishes into the air. Mm. A lot of these very haunting and powerful stories. There was a farmer who one time he was really broke and he was about to lose his farm because this tractor was broken. And I showed this story because Elvis was such a giving person. When Elvis heard about it, because he knew the farmer, he went and just bought this guy the latest and greatest, most expensive tractor, saved this guy's farm. But the day Elvis died, the farmer's working on his crops. He's out there. And suddenly Elvis appears and the farmer's like, "Hey, Elvis, what are you doing here?" And the farmer goes and Elvis goes, "Oh, I just came to say goodbye." The farmer's like, "What?" Then he hears his wife screaming from the house. The farmer turns around. His wife is running out going, "Elvis just died. Elvis just died." And he turns around and Elvis is gone. So I give many more of these really amazing examples in the book.
And that I found really interesting. I'm like, man, maybe Elvis will come to me in a dream or something.
Yeah, I do give examples of Elvis coming in visions, dreams, and explaining things. Like one lady explaining to a lady about the afterlife, because that was her. She was always scared of dying, and Elvis appeared in her dream. Is like, "Hey, it's going to be okay. We're actually in the afterlife. I just took you here for my while you were sleeping." Elvis appearing in near-death experiences and all that. So yeah, I think he's gonna keep appearing to many people, and hopefully you will be one of those. I don't know if he would be a Cubs fan, but we'll see.
I like to think so.
Yeah.
I just found it very interesting, and you gave me some things to think about with Elvis that I hadn't really thought about. I think now that this much time has passed, and I appreciate Elvis music. I don't listen to Elvis music that much. But like the movie, that one that came out recently with Colonel Parker, Tom Hanks.
Right.
That also to me was fascinating. But it's just he was a much deeper person. But it just what really I think resonated the most with me was how he, in death, is still so relevant. He just doesn't seem to go away. And as I was reading the book, I couldn't think of any other celebrity that would compare to him.
No, I can't either, really. Maybe I'm working on the second book, Elvis 2.0, a biography of David Bowie. I think David Bowie comes close. Jim Morrison, Marilyn Monroe, maybe Michael Jackson. But yeah, he's... I don't think any of those are really at the level of Elvis. And yeah, the movie's okay. It takes a lot of freedoms. A lot of these things never happened. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't even touch upon Elvis's spirituality. If you
Not
want,
at all.
There's a movie that Sofia Coppola did called Priscilla, based on her biography. And that movie you can stream right now. And that spends a good 10 minutes with Elvis being spiritual and driving everybody crazy. And Priscilla, you know, getting really angry and the ultimatums and all that stuff. It doesn't really paint Elvis in a good light, but I think Priscilla had her bias. Let's put it that way.
Now you have your own podcasts. Do you do two?
I do now. I used to do my normal one, which was called AM by Gnostic Radio. I still do it, and it's about ancient mysteries like Gnosticism, Hermeticism, and others, and how they can work for you in a modern world. But now I started a new one called Gen X Wasteland, where I want to talk more about rock music and culture and Elvis and Bowie and punk and all that. So that's my new venture, just to, you know, in a way promote the book and in a way talk to other people too.
I can't wait for the David Bowie book. That will be so interesting.
He's got so many parallels to Elvis, your head's going to spin. They're almost the same figure.
And I just think this is so interesting how you, not even being a huge Elvis fan, wrote this book. That just kind of blows me away. But well, I think you're right about, I think you would have had a different perspective if you'd have been a super fan.
Yeah, I might have even missed all these things too, because again, we all have biases. So many fans still think he was just a conservative Southern boy. you know, people see what they want to see from their idols.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So I didn't have those rose colored glasses or biases. I just went in very impartial and was able to find these things in the different biographies and books and articles.
Now, you can get the book pretty much wherever you buy books, correct?
Yes, that is correct.
And you can get more information about Miguel at miguelconner.com. And I'll put a link in the show notes, so you can just click on that. It's got information about the podcast, the book, and everything. So, but thank you so much for taking your time today, to talk to me about the book. It was a very interesting book, and it gave me something to really think about. And if I have a dream tonight about Elvis, I am reaching out tomorrow.
Yeah, let me know. I will. I got to record these things.
Or if David Bowie shows up, I'll let you know.
Yeah. Yes, yes, yes. There will be other books. And again, I am finding more and more stuff that hasn't even made it in the book. So the journey, in a way, the journey has only begun.
Thank you so much for your time today.
Oh, enjoyed it. Thanks for having me on.
And that wraps up our conversation with Miguel Conner about his book, The Occult Elvis, The Mystical and Magical Life of the King. For more information, visit his website at miguelconner.com. If you'd like access to all of our episodes, including the archive and advance episodes without the commercials, become a Gravekeeper. Sign up on Apple Podcasts, where you can try it for 3 days free, or go to patreon.com/thegravetalks. I'm Carol Hughes, and for all of us here at The Grave Talks, thank you so much for listening.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing, another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. You know what's slower than a pace car? Waiting at the car wash. That's when I fire up Chumba Casino. It turns those slow minutes into fast fun. With new games every week, you'll never get bored. Next time you're stuck in the slow lane, speed up with Chumba. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
What's up, fools? Main Event Jey Uso here from the WWE. When it's just me between matches, it's day one-ish. And that means it's Chumba time. With hundreds of casino-style games and new titles arriving weekly, there's always something fresh to try at Chumba Casino. The daily boosts make it even more fun. And have me about to get them all during my downtime. Ready for a fun way to chill out and enjoy a few minutes for yourself? Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T&Cs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Looking for excitement? Chumba Casino is here. Play anytime, play anywhere. Play on the train, play at the store, play at home, play when you're bored. Play today for your chance to win and get daily bonuses when you log in. So what are you waiting for? Don't delay. Chumba Casino is free to play.
Experience social gameplay like never before. Go to Chumba Casino right now to play hundreds of games, including online slots, bingo, Slingo, and more. Live the Chumba life at ChumbaCasino.com.
Plus, terms and conditions apply.
Are you a fraud-paying American? One in four tax-paying Americans has been a victim of identity fraud. With LifeLock, if your identity is stolen, they fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Last year, billions in refunds were stolen. Could be from your salary, overtime, or second job. Gone. But this year, you don't need to stay a victim. Because this tax season, fraud-paying American is something no American should have to claim. Save up to 40% your first year. Visit LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.